Let's pray. Jesus, Bob and I are not here because we have the power to change people. We ask you to change us, to change each of us in the room today. Jesus, we ask you to come and speak to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, have you ever met somebody that's so different than you that they actually helped you understand a little bit about who you are? They were so different. You're like, I never realized this about myself until I hung out with that other person. That's such an opposite of me, I realized. Maybe you're around someone that was so messy, you realized, huh, I actually kind of like things clean. Or maybe you thought you liked spicy food until you went to like a real Mexican restaurant or something. You're like, oh, maybe not, you know? So sometimes being around something that's super different actually reveals truth about us. And we're going to watch a video right now. It's got this super nerdy guy that's really into plants, which is maybe nobody in the room. I don't know. But
y'all need to know that Jake actually, this is his hero. The guy you're getting ready
to see. That's not true.
and he really likes this guy. Jake took me out to his garden and showed me his garden where he got the seeds you're getting ready to see.
I do have a garden with seeds.
So,
yeah. So, I do have a garden with seeds. This guy would be kind of judgmental about my garden with seeds. So I have, if you know anything about gardening, I have hybrid seeds. And this
that
be
guy
like,
has
turn
my
his
shirt
nose
from the 70s, by the way.
Yeah. So this is a really nerdy guy. But please don't tune him out, because I think some of the stuff he says will actually put a spotlight on you, actually might teach you, if you listen to him and then let us kind of talk about it. So it's just a couple minutes with the guy in a paisley shirt. So we'll watch it.
Seeds to me are basically very fascinating things. Amazing that, you know, life can come out of something that's like a speck on the end of your finger and produce tomatoes. My parents and grandparents and all my relatives gardened. I lived in the Boise Valley area, and I started growing my own garden when I was about 3. The first things I tried was the yellow pear tomato, and I remember tasting those and thinking, wow, how great they tasted. When I was about 17, I was a member of Seed Savers Exchange and had been collecting and trading seeds for several years. And so I decided, why not go ahead and put out our own little price list? I mean, it was worth a try. I put out 550 catalogs the first year. When 1999 came, because of Y2K, a lot of people were getting back into gardening. Plus, a lot of food magazines had came out with articles on growing different seeds. We went from printing 550 catalogs in 1998 to about 7,500 in 1999. This year, it's up to 250,000 copies. It was a hobby. It still is. It's a hobby. It's a passion. It's something I really love. You know, you can get thousands of different combinations of color and shape and size. I mean, it's unlimited. Plus, just the history. I love knowing that, you know, this very seed is something that's descended from Thomas Jefferson, or the Romans grew this. For several years, we'd been talking about opening something somewhere else. Drove all through Southern and Central California looking for a spot, and when we got to Petaluma, we liked the area, liked the people here, liked the local food movement. Everybody was very supportive of the idea. We currently have around 1,400 different varieties of seeds, so it's a fairly good amount, but which is really tiny on the scale of what's out there available and also on what's been lost in this country in the last 100 years. So we have one called Spears Tennessee Green. A family brought this in. They were given it like 30 or 40 years ago. It's a green tomato. It's really a wonderful tasting tomato. It's pretty much, you know, just one garden away from being lost.
Okay, so you may have never heard somebody use the word wow about tomatoes or to talk about like unlimited. I think he used the word unlimited when describing tomatoes, you know, so never maybe heard some of those words put back to back like that. But he talked about a passion that he had, and he talked about how he's living out that passion. And when you see him, maybe you're like, I don't want anything to do with seeds, but you can't help but be a little jealous of the fact that this guy had this dream and he's so in love with it and he's doing it. Like, that seems cool. Even if you don't want to wear paisley or any of that stuff. And so as we heard that, how did he figure out his dream? Well, as a 3-year-old, he was doing something he liked. And then as a 17-year-old, he kind of stepped out with some courage and made this little catalog thing. And then it just kept growing from there. He kind of kept taking these steps. And eventually, he looked around to find a community of folks that could help him kind of set up his masterpiece, if you will. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. He also used words like wow and incredible and I love this stuff. And this is a hobby and a passion of mine. And sometimes when we hear that stuff, we think, man, that's alien. That's almost strange to think like having that much happiness or that much joy and that much fulfillment in something that you're able to actually do. So it led him eventually to making this seed bank thing that he has now in California. It's a cool building. I would say Bob used this language with us this week. This is kind of his masterpiece. Talk to us about that.
Well, if you were to ask this man what his masterpiece of his life is, he would say it is this bank. You know, I've watched this video now about three or four times because Jake asked me to preview it. And I realized his catalog went, he is now 250,000 people are getting that catalog. I don't know if you all got that or not. My first thing I noticed was a shirt because I used to own one like that, but along with a leisure suit. But, he has done some pretty incredible things with seeds. And there are 250,000 people who care enough about those seeds. Jake, you're not just the only one. There are 250,000 people who want that. And by the way, when Jake is serving me some really good stuff, I'm not going to make fun of those seeds that he's grown all those good produce from. But I thought about masterpieces for you. Have you ever stopped to think, what is the masterpiece of my life?
My salvation.
Amen.
There you go. Yeah, nice,
that's
Brian.
That's right. And that was Brian English, a little footnote here. And the other piece for Brian is that Brian's masterpiece is not just salvation, but it is helping other people to salvation.
Yeah, if you were here on Friday, I got a chance to talk to Brian right before he got to speak at the event we were doing Friday at another Chance concert. And Brian was saying, you know, God's gifted me to tell my story to other people. And so he was excited. Brian was excited. And he looked a little cooler than this guy, but he was excited to share his story. I mean, he had that same like kind of passion this guy had, but it was, I get a chance to share in front of a room full of people about what Jesus did for me.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. And so you're right about thank you, Jesus. And Brian may not use the word wow and fantastic and things like that, but he and Kenneth and Donnie and Dominic, who did a lot of leading Friday night, they used very good words to describe the passion that they had. It was very real. And so my question to you is, what is the masterpiece that you're creating? I heard a guy one time say, life for a lot of people is like getting on a merry-go-round. You go round and round a couple of times and you get bored, so you jump up and down on the horse and then you swing on the pole and you end up crawling around on the dirt on the floor and you get off on the same place where you got on and you said the ride's too short. And I would hope that there was nobody hearing us today who would say, that's how my life is going to be. I'm just going to go round and round and do the same things I've always done and get up and go to bed and get up and go to bed and get on the floor and crawl around in the dirt for a while and then just die and that's it. I hope you will seriously say, what is my masterpiece? So when Jake and I were talking about this, I thought about a couple of people that are in my, that they're influencers for me. And one man is one of the most incredible men that I have ever read about. I didn't know him because he died when I was a child. But he knew presidents. He studied under some of the greatest people our country's ever known. He could have taught in any university in the entire country, possibly in the world. He chose to raise pecans. He chose to go to death row in Georgia, where they were executing some just out of sight number of people in the electric chair. And he contended for prisoners and he worked for race relations in Georgia in the 1920s, 30s, and into the 40s. And his life was two things. One of them was to know God, like he could, you know, just powerfully to know God. And he asked God over and over again, God, can I somehow know you more and more and more? And in the early service, I had a couple of people who came up and prayed with me, and they asked the same thing, so I thought I'd stick that in there. And then the second thing was, his desire was to give love and only love everywhere he went, and that fueled his social action. I was telling Jake some crazy stories, and I'll be quick with this because I'm looking at the clock. But there was a time where the Klan had a fellow they were going to try to kill. They'd already beat him up, and they'd already really messed his life over. But they were planning to kill him. And this guy, he weighed 143 pounds. He is not, I mean, I weigh almost 243 pounds. You know,
got I weigh more than 143 even. So
there you are, Jake. There you are. So his brother actually put a pistol in his belt to go out and stop these Klansmen. And Rufus Moseley, he took a match. And he found them parked down on a side street. And he walked in through the car window. He pulled the guy's hood off, and he lit the match, and he says, the light will cast out the darkness. You know what those guys did? They drove off, and they ran away. So he had two passions, all right? And that was his life's work. His life's masterpiece was to be full of God and to be full of God's love. So I'm going to ask you, what is the masterpiece you're creating? All right? What is your masterpiece? So there's Scott Stoner. I got a feeling your masterpiece might be running around helping guys who are homeless. And I read about you on Instagram, and I say, wow, go for it. All right? There's some other people who are going out, and they're bringing in those whose lives are broken, and they're destroyed by drugs, and they're saying, come on, let's go to a meeting together. What is your life's masterpiece? What is it going to be? And so think about it. And somebody says, man, I don't have a masterpiece. I'm just working this little old $8 an hour job, and it's killing me, and I can't pay my bills. There was a fellow back years ago who's a shoe salesman. That's all he had going on for him. And a fellow came in to buy some shoes from him, little entry-level job. Guy came in to buy shoes, and the Spirit of God said to him, talk to him about Jesus. And so he said, sir, would you like to know about Jesus Christ? And the guy said, yes, I would, right there on the spot. And so he prayed and he asked Jesus to be a savior in the shoe store. And the fellow who got saved in the shoe store ended up being one of the greatest preachers in the United States, Dwight L. Moody. And so if you go to Chicago, there's a church named after him. There's a Bible Institute named after him. There's a radio program named after him. Thousands of people came to know Jesus because Dwight L. Moody bought some shoes one day from a guy who had his life purpose of helping people. Brian English, you hear this? Helping people find the Lord. Okay? So now Jake's going to take us further into Scripture to kind of flesh this out a little bit more.
Okay. So how many people think that if you're going to succeed with Jesus, you've got to submit to the Bible? How many people think, like, that makes sense? You got to do that. So two-thirds of you, maybe you've already lost the third, but I'll take that if we could get two-thirds of you. So got to submit to the Bible. Well, Jesus' most famous teaching maybe is the Sermon on the Mount. And in there he says stuff like you have to love your enemies. And downstairs, Marcos shared an awesome story of loving an enemy at work last night. But he also says stuff like you are the light of the world. And you got to submit to both of those statements if you want to follow Jesus. You do have to submit to starting to live the way Jesus wants you to live. You have to obey him. You also have to let go of your low self-esteem. You have to let go of whatever you're telling yourself that's different than what Jesus is telling you about who you are. Some of us, we walk around and we only listen to the parts of the Bible that tell us something to do. And we don't listen to the parts of the Bible that tell us who we are. And you gotta do both. But today we're going to look at one that tells us who we are. Okay, we're going to read a big chunk of Scripture, so I don't want to take it out of context, but we're going to go through it real fast, and then we're going to come back to one verse, okay? So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, they're different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So here he's talking about every person who's a Christian is given a gift by the Holy Spirit, or maybe multiple gifts. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, the same God at work. So what he says is what Brian English does might be different than what Patrick does or what Chris does, but God is going to be working through all of us, okay? Did I skip one there? Oh, no, there we go. So now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We're going to come back to that. Verse 8 says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. This is going to be a little list of examples, what the Holy Spirit can give you to do. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. So this is kind of a little list of what are things the Holy Spirit can give you. But an interesting thing about lists of gifts in the Bible is none of the lists of gifts of the Holy Spirit are the same. It's because they don't limit the Holy Spirit. These aren't the only things that the Holy Spirit can give us. These are examples of what the Holy Spirit can give us. And there's other things too. So verse 11, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So when you look at your own life, and if you're intimidated by this idea of Jesus is calling you to do something significant, to have a masterpiece, know that the Holy Spirit has given you the exact gift that he thinks is right for you to do whatever masterpiece he wants. And so he's given to Gabby probably a different gift than he's given to Jerry, but it's the same Holy Spirit that wants to work through both of them. So I said we were going to go back to verse 7. This is my favorite in this passage. Here's the promise. I was talking to you about the identity the Bible gives us. We have to submit to that. The very first part here, now to each one. Who's each one? This book is written to a church. It's a church in the city of Corinth. And it was kind of a messy church. They didn't have all their stuff together. And yet, here's his promise. Every single one of them is given a gift. A manifestation of the Spirit is how it's described here. So how do we know what a gift from the Holy Spirit is? Because maybe you can sing really well, and maybe that's a gift from God, or maybe it's just a random talent. How do you know the gifts you have from the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the definition it gives us. Manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, it helps other people. When the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, a piece of God's presence is present when you use that gift. So, for instance, I just got a chance to pray with one of our youth, and he was praying about he's getting to go to a state competition for wood chop. And I'm here to tell you, like, God can manifest himself through the carpentry that the young man's going to do and the way he handles himself at that competition. God could work through that. And so whether you're a carpenter or not is okay, either way. But God's presence can come through in things. So as we read through the Gospels, what do we see about God's presence? He sticks up for people that are getting bullied. He loves people that don't deserve to be loved. He gives people chances when nobody else does. He makes a lot of people mad, but for good reasons. He's never ashamed or sad about or regretful about the things that he sticks up for. So when you look in your own life and you start to think, when am I the most like Jesus? When do I have the love that Jesus had or the joy that Jesus had? That's a hint of this manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's God's presence is in that moment, okay? So, Bob, finding your gifts is not an easy thing to do. Tell us how you found some of your gifts from the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, first of all, I would like to have had this sermon preached to me when I was 18, all right? And I would like to have had somebody put out before me, and then I would like to have also been able to receive it. You know, it's one thing to hear it, another thing to do it. But I would love someone to have me sit down and say, what do you want your life to look like towards the end? And I would love to have had somebody say to me, you know, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you will cooperate with the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit speak to you, you can chart a course, okay? That wasn't the way it worked for me. In fact, Jake asked me that question in the office, and I go, oh, man, this is kind of humbling. So there's two passages, Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah 43, where God talks about his blind servant. And he says, who is so blind but my servant? And that is not complimentary. There's nothing at all. In fact, that's part of the judgment of God, that his servant has become blind. But I've called for myself for years, I've called myself God's blind servant, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but God did, and he would kind of lead me very graciously to do different things. So without getting into my whole story, I didn't plan my masterpiece, all right? One thing I did do, and I'm so thankful I did, was I said yes to God when he asked me to do something. All right, and I will say that if you will get in contact with the living, personal God, God is living, God is personal, God is near you. If you will listen for his voice and take the next step led by him, he will guide you to the right place. Some of you have more clarity about where you're headed than I did. Some of you need to seriously say, okay, God, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? All right? And I'm looking at some folks who are my age. You don't have to stop thinking about your future when you hit, you know, retirement age. All right? When you hit 65, you can say, okay, God, what are we going to be doing next? All right? Vernon Armitage was a pastor up at Pleasant Valley for years and years and years, and he and I had breakfast one day, and he says, I'm never going to retire. I'm never going to get a motorhome. I'm never going to learn how to play golf. I'm always going to serve God. And sure enough, he does, you know. And so some of us my age and older, let's get some of that fire that Vernon's got, and let's do it, all right? So long story short is, if you will be open to God, and Jake's got a few more things to say on this, if you're open to God, he can do anything he wants to do with you. You hear that? No matter where you are, if you're open to God, he can do anything he wants to do with you, and whatever he does with you will be just right. Jake, you said it so well. It's divided around. Not everybody has one gift or another gift. We have the gift God's given us, all right? And it'll be perfect, all right? Why don't you take some more?
Okay. So I wanted to make sure you guys left today with some real steps of what to do. Because even if you really like this message, if you're in maybe those two-thirds that raise your hand and are still with us, you know?
Three are left now.
Yeah, maybe three are left now. So, but how do you do any of this? How do you find your gift to start using it? So I want to give you some just real practical steps. This is stuff that I just learned from my past. First step to finding your gifts with Jesus is you have to be in love with Jesus. Okay? So yeah, so amen. Amen in the name of Jesus, right? You know? So you have to be in love with Jesus. What does that look like? That doesn't look like, oh man, I forgot to read my Bible this whole week, every single day, because it just slipped my mind. You know? Yeah, it looks like obedience. Brian's right. If you love Jesus, it means I don't want to let him down. I want to be close to him. How do I get close to him? Well, I start cutting out the things that keep me away from him, and I start doing the things that get me close to him. Okay, and I'm not saying you got to run around feeling so guilty all the time. It's actually the opposite of that. It's running around wanting more of Jesus so much. That's what's got to fuel your life. Until you get to that point, you just got to find that. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know what it looks like, start asking Jesus, Jesus, help me fall in love with you. And then find somebody else that you feel like, that guy looks like he's on fire for Jesus. And just say, how do I get what you have? Ask him for some real things to do. And then start doing those things, okay? So that's the first step. Fall in love with Jesus. That's a big one. If you get that one, the rest of your life will probably work out. But I'm going to go ahead and give you a few more steps because I'm like that. So once you're in love with Jesus, what do? I know for me, when I was really falling really hard in love with Jesus, I wanted to spend a lot of time with him. For me, that was reading the Bible a lot. So I started to read the Bible a whole bunch. And that led to other people starting to ask me about the Bible because they'd see me reading it. And that led to me realizing, like, huh, other people trust me, and I have a pretty easy time making metaphors or analogies and, like, helping people understand things. That eventually led me on a journey to become a pastor up on stage here. Like, that, I never wanted to be a pastor. That was never, like, my goal at the beginning of my life. But God just started to show me, piece by piece, hey, these are gifts that I've put in you. Why don't you use them? And as I started to use them, then it led me on a path with him, okay, to use them more and more. As you go with Jesus, if you're in love with Jesus, then he's going to show you some things you're good at. As the more you obey him, the more other people will be drawn to that. And you'll just start doing it, you know? Nobody had to tell Scott to start helping the homeless. He started doing it on his own a little bit, and now other people have been drawn to do it with him. So just fall in love with Jesus, then start doing the things that come naturally to you, but see where's their success in that? Where's their passion? One other real practical step, something that helped me along the way. A lot of times, we don't really know very much about ourselves. If you go around this week and ask maybe three people that know you really well, ask them some questions about you. Ask them, like, what do you think is my biggest strength? Or what do you think something that I could really work on? That's a hard one to ask people that know you well. Particularly if they're honest and good friends, then it's like, woo, look out. I got to change. If you're a spouse, you know, what if you asked your spouse, like, how could I be a better husband? How could I be a better wife? So you start asking people closest to you stuff, they will tell you things you never expected. They will tell you, well, you're so great that you do this. And you're like, what? I didn't even know I do that. Or you really need to work on this. And you're like, really? I thought I was great at that. Start asking them, you start to see, like, huh, I'm not the person that I thought I was. So what if this week you just ask three people that know you well about, where do you see God working through me? Or where do you see as a strength of mine? Let that do some guiding for you. Final little step there is to realize you probably need a mentor in your life. The biggest aha moments that I've had about who I am and how God made me have come out of the mouths of mentors in my life. They've gotten to know me, and they've got some wisdom, and so they've told me, like, Jake, this is true about you. And a lot of times, like, oh, duh, like, that is true about me, but I didn't realize it until you said it. So if you don't have a mentor, find somebody at church that seems a little further along than you and just say, like, hey, let's hang out. And it'll go a lot smoother if they're the same gender, or just make things simpler, and so they don't get the wrong weird idea when you're like, hey, let's hang out. They're like, I'm married or something, you know. So just go to them and say, like, hey, I think you're a little further along from me. I think I can learn from you. Start meeting with them. Okay, those are a lot of steps. Maybe I've lost you. Here's my close for you guys tonight, or today, this morning. This Jeremiah guy, I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know much about him. He's really not my hero, no matter what Bob would say. But I was a little jealous the first time I saw the video, because this guy is living what he, I think, was made to do. Like, he has this passion, and he's found it, and he's doing it. If you want that sort of life, Jesus is the one who made you. Jesus is the one who can get you to where you are made to be. But you got to go with him. You got to fall in love with him, and you got to do it his way. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you guys. But if you're here today and you're thinking, I really want to take a step with Jesus, he says there's something good in me, I want to find it, then we're going to have a couple small group leaders up here on stage right afterwards. Come up and pray with one of the small group leaders. But let's pray right now. I'm going to pray a blessing over you guys, if you'll bow your heads. Jesus, I pray that you would fill us with love for you. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom about the gifts that you have given us. I pray you'd give us the courage to ask wise people about what they see in us. Jesus, I pray you'd show us our gifts and use our gifts. It's in your name we pray. Amen.